Do you want to test? Just try talking.
Crumpet.
Okay, that's a good sound. I can see there is sound, and it says crumpet.
Whibble.
Okay, so. Hello, and welcome to the 13th episode in the Daft Furnace podcast series. I'm Alex, and I'm here with Jamie, and we actually have a live podcast today, as in live as in we're both together, as opposed to over the phone, which I guess is still live, but remote. Anyway, we're face to face. I can see Jamie's whites of his eyes right here across the table. We're in Liege, I believe is the way you say it, in Belgium. Is that how you say it, Jamie?
It is indeed. I'm obviously not from Belgium. I have no experience of speaking French or Dutch. But I think definitively that is exactly how you say it. Yeah.
Also, German is a recognised language here. So, yeah. But neither of us speak any of those languages. So we're in good hands here. However, as people who have actually been following the podcast may have noticed, we're actually a bit behind on our podcast series. Because we should have really provided an update on the Dirty Weekend, which took place earlier in the month of May. And now it is June, and we're here for a beer marathon. But let's not talk about the beer marathon yet, because we had an obstacle course race we took part in, didn't we?
We did indeed, which was a lot of fun. I think we were both a bit worried about this one, having done it in 2014, and I seem to remember it being fairly painful. But I think it actually ended up having a fairly good time.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. The weather was goodish.
Yeah.
The beer at the end was okay. And the town was pompous.
Well, it's all the things that you can ask for, really, isn't it? Like, I do not want to go to a dirty weekend and not have rampant pomposity dancing around me while I'm running. Right.
Maybe pompous is a bit harsh, but anyway. You recall... Dear listeners, from the last episode, we had just finished the... We were late on that as well. But we had finished the Ultra Tour of Iran, which was basically a double ultra marathon, which is like over the 26.2 miles over 2 days, for a total of around 60 miles for the weekend.
Yeah, about 60 miles.
Yes, and we completed that with, you know, the elite running skill that we've developed over the years, and not at all by just grafting it out.
Yeah, I think I do remember not walking at all during the race. I ran.
I think I sprinted most of it, actually.
Yeah, I bounded up those mountains like a mountain goat, in fact.
The mountain goat? I mean, I don't know, actually. Well, I've never seen a mountain goat ride a mountain. Is that you ride a mountain?
I think that's what they do.
Rise upon a mountain.
Mountain bikes. They mountain bike.
I always feel like they traverse rather than go up or down. I feel like maybe their entire duration of their lives, they basically spend at one altitude on the mountain and just traverse back and forth.
I think that's the right word for it. I think traverse is, yeah, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. But if you want to hear more about the tour of Iran or our adventures on it, do go see episode 12. Which was one of our other episodes. I'm sure it's really good.
It's my favourite episode so far.
Yes, exactly.
If you listen to any episode, listen to episode 12.
Definitely. But we're going to basically go over the Dirty Weekend, which is, I think it was only a couple of weeks after the Ultra Tour of Iran. So we just finished training for an ultra marathon. And then we're basically going straight into an obstacle course run.
Yeah, so it's not the ideal training process, is it? So for an obstacle course race, I imagine you probably have to do a little bit more focus on kind of core strength and so on.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I had not done anything apart from run since December. I think I was like, oh, I'll go to the gym more often, do things, pick up heavy things, put them down. I didn't. I think I did some yoga. Which is close.
I think I did some Les Mills body attack classes.
Body attack.
Which is well known for being good for doing monkey bars. Yeah.
If you're gonna pull your weight up anywhere, it's going to be a body attack, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever that is. So we came into it extremely well prepared, because in those 2 weeks after we had finished recording the podcast about Ultra Varan, we dedicated ourselves fully to achieving ultimate body weight fitness. Okay, we didn't. We actually spent most of the time at the pub. I think you did some climbing, though. Climbing's kind of body weight.
Yeah, definitely. Did some climbing. And then went to the pub after the climbing. But
you pulled your mass physically upwards and over things, which is pretty much what an obstacle course is. I mean, people who don't know, ultimately, an obstacle course race is essentially you do a race, a running thing, and then they put as many things as they can for you to crawl over or climb over or clamber over or clamber around. I mean, it's basically just climbing over things. So climbing, I mean, bouldering specifically, that was pretty good training, right, Jamie?
Definitely. And yeah. It did stand me good stead for a few of the obstacles. I'm obviously actually quite scared of heights, so my finger strength was particularly useful when I was clinging for dear life onto various tyres or poles or, you know, whatever I could grab hold of to make sure I didn't fall to my doom.
So, strong fingers,
yeah, very key.
Most definitely. So let's start at the beginning, I guess, on our journey up. As we always do, we like to talk about journeys.
Yeah, it's a backtrack, it's a travel update, a weather update, and then we talk a little bit about running.
Exactly. This is the format for the show. If you haven't listened before, this is essentially how it works. So yes, we travelled by train, which we often do, and I think we made it to the station on time, but the train was a little late, I believe.
Yeah, so it's funny how these things seem to happen with us, where we just manage somehow to get there just to the race venue, just before the race starts, just in time to, at a steady pace, get ready and then get ourselves kind of in place. And again, it was the same thing with the Dirty Weekend. Like, we could not have cut it any closer. It could you know, not have happened any better in terms of the time we left ourselves, which is in no due amount to the fact that, again, as you said, the trains were slightly delayed and some of the connecting train waited for us. So we were quite lucky. But I think the general point of this is that someday we're not going to get lucky and then we're going to turn up and it's going to be too late. And we'll just have to go to the pub afterwards. We have to miss the race.
Oh, no.
What a shame.
What a tragedy that would be to actually not have to run, in this case, 20 miles.
Yeah, so I think I tweaked it about 21, 22 miles. I have to check my watch. But, you know, maybe it's good to talk about the race a little bit because, obviously, Dirty Weekend, we've, again, done it before. But from memory, it's from looking at the race profile, it's about 200 obstacles plus. At 21, 22 miles around a picturesque country estate next to Burghley House. And so this is a staple of the rat race calendar and a race again we've enjoyed before.
So. Up in by Stamford, isn't it?
Stamford, yeah.
Yes. So, yes, we have done it before, as Jamie has mentioned a couple of times. From memory, I don't think it's changed a whole lot.
No.
I think... maybe there's a bit more water obstacles than there was previously, but it's still a very similar race. There's been some tweaking, probably to help with the queues. I mean, that was, I think if you've heard any of the earlier episodes where we're debating whether or not to do this, one of our strong negatives against it, or rather my strong, I can't be bothered with that race ever again. We're not doing it because I don't want to stand around queuing. It was overruled somehow by Jamie. Damn it, Jamie.
Sorry.
In 2014, there was a lot of queues. That was a lot less of an issue this year, actually. So congrats to the race planners at Rat Race who seem to have come up with a way of alleviating those queues either through wave numbers or reorganising some of the distances between obstacles.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of choke points still, but I mean, it's difficult for such a long course to sort everything out. But yeah, I imagine, again, points where if somebody gets a bit nervous, suddenly there's 30 or 40 people backing up.
Yeah,
exactly. A couple of points that happened in time, but most of it was pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the thing. I mean, I think the one time we actually skipped an obstacle, actually, we probably skipped a few, if we're honest.
No, I skipped just a couple of obstacles. Yeah. Most of the ones I skipped, I actually decided to film you, Alex, while you were doing them. It's purely because I wanted to get an aesthetic kind of medium in place where we can judge how well you went over the obstacles. That's purely why I didn't do them.
I'm not sure why you were filming me while I was doing it. That was your goal.
we did end up skipping a couple, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I mean, primarily in regards to Q&A, I think there was one where it looked like, from our vantage point, all they had to do was jump over a log. And, you know, this was fairly early on. We hadn't yet got to the obstacles where you had to jump over basically walk the plank into a huge pool of water or other quite significant drops. This was climbing over a log and something had happened, I guess. And it was just very slow going through it. And it was one of those cases where, we could wait around for, you know, another 10, 15 minutes because it was a very long queue for this. Or we could just cut it out and just go to the next one, which we elected to do. And I think ultimately that was the right choice. But other than that, the queuing seemed fairly negligible for all the races. And it went quite well for all races, all the obstacles rather. So it went quite well.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And so did you have any kind of favourite bits of the race?
I really enjoyed the water obstacles, actually. So there was quite a large lake through which you had to do lots of swimming and basically pooling around on flotation devices or pulling yourself up on them and dancing over or whatever.
I thought the jumping over kind of the various canoes was quite a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I suppose it's interesting, you do have categories of these obstacles. Some are based on strength, you know, kind of grip and perhaps courage, and others are based on balance and the ability to kind of time your runs and... I think I quite enjoyed the some of the balanced ones. Some of them, obviously, I couldn't do. So I ended up falling over miserably, but the ones in the water, I think I quite enjoyed.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Especially the when you're in the water and it's a really sunny day, just swimming around, and it's going to be like, this is what these wild swimming people are about.
Yeah. And then, the first time we jumped in, that was freezing, wasn't it? It was kind of shrieks of gasps of terror from people jumping in, and I hyperventilated quite a lot.
I mean, you're open water swimming and through it, Jamie, for those of you who don't know, has actually swam part of the English Channel. So, I mean, that's cold. That's damn cold. You're training how to control your breathing and your stamina or something. I'm imagining that those are all things that you need to take into account.
So the key things there, obviously, you have to get used to the cold water shock, and obviously at that point in time I haven't done it for quite a long time, and it just goes to show you can be taken by surprise even when you're walking into cold water and know exactly what's coming.
it could happen to anybody, is what you're saying ultimately.
And the second point is that obviously cold water swimming, you eat as much as you exercise, so you keep some of the flab on, and I have to say I'm not as portly as I used to be. In fact, I can almost see some muscles in between the rolls of fat.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking. It's all fat. I have no excuse.
I was very confused for a while there. Really?
Yeah.
Is he being serious? Damn, I'm going to have to break some really harsh news to you, Jamie.
So swimming bits were quite a lot of fun, and I quite enjoyed some of the slides. We had some of the slides into the water and so on. It was quite good fun. Some of them were quite high. Again, I'm not a big fan of heights, I have to say. But once you kind of overcome, jumping through, I think.
We did some good pair work on the going down the slides. I mean, I shot a 3-2-1. You went and I didn't.
So the end of the race, maybe we're skipping a bit, but the biggest obstacle is at the end where you have to climb up several series of poles and kind of ladders and so on to get to the peak, the apex of the rat race experience at day weekend. And so me and Alex, we're going to go down this massive slide down to the bottom. I'm terrified of heights, and we're going to go together. It's great. And he motions that he's going to go, so I jump off and then realize that he's laughing at me and then following behind. I can only assume he's attempting to kick me in the head on the way down.
I mean, I was trying not to avoid you for the most part, but you span out of control. I didn't understand to do this, but it was just like watching a helicopter crash.
So that was obviously one of our favourite moments. So.
Oh, definitely.
But, as you another favourite moment, I think you were quite happy carrying some of the items.
I always like carrying things. I was very distressed at one point because I thought we may have, as part of skipping that queue we talked about earlier, I was worried that we were actually skipping a log carry. I like carrying things, especially if it's uphill. And this was a log carry uphill. I was worried, oh, we haven't seen it, and got looped back. But fear not, we actually came back to it quite a while later. Kind of looped back, we could see the other obstacle behind us, and there it was. Some logs to pick up and carry up a hill.
And you did enjoy that. Like, I could see you enjoy it. Yeah.
It's just amazing. Just carrying weight up a hill. It's amazing.
I mean, one of my favourite bits was the jumping over the walls, or imagine to get over some of the walls. Not the mass. I think I need some help to get over the 8-foot or 10-foot one. But the shorter ones, I actually managed to kind of get my bulk over there, which I was very happy about. At least early on in the days, quite a few those kind of obstacles. And I suppose that's one thing to say about the race, because there's 200 obstacles. It's quite difficult. To have variety in that. There's only so many ways you can kind of really propose some challenge to kind of obstacle course races over that period of time. So there's quite a lot of repetition. There's quite a lot of so many cargo nets. Oh my god!
I think there's a sale at cargo net warehouse.
Yeah, I think they've got a discount. I think they have all the cargo nets. But I mean, that's just 200 obstacles. You know, what are you going to do? So a lot of them were cargo nets rated. But that sounds like I'm complaining. I'm not complaining, really.
Yeah, love the cargo nets. And we didn't just climb over cargo nets. I mean, we climbed up tires and like netting stuff. It was kind of like this canvas thing. I don't know what it was.
It's big and small tires as well. Yeah,
there was big and small tires.
Some scaffolding poles. There was wooden poles.
Logs, literally like huge logs built into things. Lumberjacks, and we've gone to some box. Which was very amusing for all involved.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some injuries involved. I hurt my toe. That was really painful. That was not involving a log. That was involving an inflatable foam covered.
Yeah, it's probably the least likely thing to think you'd injure yourself on. Be like,
well, yeah, 100%. I volleyed myself over it and then, slipped. And because I was actually wearing people who have been listening to this for so long would have known how much I take the mick out of Jamie for wearing the wrong shoes, not being prepared, turning up to races with brand new shoes, having not worn them in. And then at this particular race, I had the wrong type of shoes. The Isle of Arran had completely totaled one of my pairs of trail shoes, which you kind of need for this event. Another pair of shoes had just been wiped out. So ultimately, I went from three pairs of trail shoes to zero. The third one, actually, I'd ordered online. I don't know why I ordered online. I know exactly what if you're buying shoes, just go out and get them. It's ordering shoes for like running and stuff online is a terrible idea. But I did it anyway. I got them. I ran in them for 500 yards. And I was like, these are horrific. So I don't think we've covered this before. I tend to run in like barefoot shoes or very minimalist shoes. These were advertised as barefoot, but they had quite a thick cushioning on them, even though they're zero drop. This is all very technical, I guess. Maybe this is too technical for daft running, but ultimately, the shoes sucked.
That sounds pretty technical.
Sucky shoes for me. I've been running like in barefoot shoes for like 5+ years, and it's the only way to run for me. Yeah, everything else just hurts.
I mean, that's the thing about shoes. I say is you have to find what works for you, don't you? And it's kind of trial and error sometimes.
Yeah. So I returned no shoes, but the ultimate shortcoming was that I had no shoes to run in, other than my normal gym shoes, which are incredibly slick.
Yeah.
So whilst I was dancing around on slippy mud and jumping off obstacles, this particular foamy, bouncy castle obstacle, I just came off wrong, and my toe completely went boop the other way. Terrible. That was like 2 miles in. But it was okay. I survived the other 18 miles because I'm just that hardcore. Just generally an animal.
Thankfully, I'd worn my trail shoes in the weeks before by running 2 ultramarathons.
by running 60 miles or an event, and then not wearing them again, presumably until that day. Somehow that worked out better than mine. I'm going to plan this. I'm going to get some shoes at this point. I'm going to throw these shoes at this point. That backfired horribly for me. So actually, I still haven't got trail shoes. Fun fact. I went to a place where I was like, I want these trail shoes. I've worn them before. Can I have them? No, I've got to wait 2 weeks. Well, that sucks.
Well, thankfully, obviously, the race we're doing again this tomorrow morning is not going to be trail based. It's going to be mostly drinking beer based.
Yes, drinking beer based on a road. Yeah. Very little trail involved. It's raining a bit, so I don't know if that matters.
Cause I'm going to wear my trail shoes again.
Is that because they're the only shoes you have?
Yes.
Damn it. Okay, as long as we don't measure the distance on my Apple Watch, we'll be fine. Because my Apple Watch, for whatever reason, has decided that the GPS doesn't like measuring distance at all. Between us, we should be all right. Yeah, just drink some beer. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So what kind of, other than Herxo, is there anything else kind of stood out for you in terms of the worst points?
The worst points?
Yeah.
I think apart from injuring myself. it was a tragic injury.
That's pretty bad, yeah. That was
due to wearing the wrong shoes. No, I mean, that's not bad, is it?
No. I think just in terms of the obstacles, again, the height-based stuff, I really, you know, some slippery handholds, I kind of did panic a little bit of them. The monkey bars, again, I'm not great in terms of my upper body stroke. So, again, I embarrassed myself with monkey bars a few times. So I need to focus on that. So that's something to learn. Next race, one of these I do, I'm going to have to make sure I train specifically and not just focus on the running side. And then I guess there's a couple of bits where you crawl through some tubes for a very long period of time.
Long time.
And that was it made for good footage on my GoPro. So it's just me gasping and groaning and dragging myself like a beached whale.
if you were just to put that video on and it's just dark and all is you groaning in the wind, so it could be misconstrued. Evidently.
Yeah, let's maybe not do that one. So that's kind of mildly fun, though. Again, so when you were crawling through, there were some bits where they had these Daleks in place for some reason. They kind of had these underground grottos where they'd had these the voice effects in place. So yeah, it's mildly amusing.
And we did enter via a telephone box, which is obviously the franchise. That's the time travel machine, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess
the TARDIS, yeah.
So we time traveled to a dark hole full of Daleks and then somehow escaped.
All part of a good day weekend.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah, with monkey bars, going back to the comment last. So I pretty much had only done 30 or 40 pull-ups the entire quarter. But actually, the thing that got me back in 2014 was you come straight out of the water. Like, there's a water obstacle, wet hands. And I remember doing the monkey bars back then, and the water against the smooth monkey bars had torn all the skin off my hands. It was horrible.
Ouch.
So this time I actually wore some gloves, which did not seem to help. I was just sliding around on it. So basically, you see me, I think, in some of Jamie's footage, like one monkey bar, two monkey bar, oh God, I'm in the water.
And some of them were quite thick, weren't they? Some of the monkey bar, yeah, it wasn't like normal monkey bars you'd expect. You see in kind of various gyms, it's quite a...
They're basically scaffolding, yeah.
Scaffolding, yeah. So it's not a... So you have to have quite a wide grip. So that's a good difference. Again, it's quite a lot of finger strength training, which you think I'd be good at having done some climbing, but obviously not.
Didn't come to pass. So in terms of other negatives... I don't know. I was just general lack of preparedness towards the end was really the thing for me. So it was basically the early obstacles was fine. You know, even though I hadn't really trained that much for that kind of stuff, I was able to pull myself over most of the walls or whatever.
Yeah.
But towards the end, it was very much like you'd tell I was tired. They had quite a few of these sloped walls, which I don't think were actually much of a OCR type thing back in the day when we were doing it in the early 2010s. Now in the late 2010s, wow, time flies. Where it's kind of like you have to, like, because it's angled away from you, you have to sort of swing your leg up all the more. And I had not prepared my adductors for that level of stretching.
Yeah, I mean, there's notably stretching a little bit outside my comfort zone getting over those ones. Yeah,
yeah, it was a hard, like, gripping your ankle over the wall essentially to pull yourself over, because there's no perches underneath you to sort of scamper up a bit if you messed up the initial kind of grab and pull to sort of push yourself over. Towards the end, it was just a disaster for that.
I did notably much more kind of, well, as we say, less flexible as the race went on. The bits where you had to kind of crouch down quite a lot, and it was kind of my knees were groaning. I think maybe it's just because I'm getting a bit older, perhaps. But I did at that kind of point in time, you'd have a bit more respect for some racers who were doing the double kind of dirty weekend. They're doing double muckers. Yeah. As it were, so they're doing 40 miles and 400 obstacles, and it's quite a fair play to them to see them running past.
100%.
No. I think the running wise, I think we're fine. I think we've got those miles in our legs. It's just the obstacles I think we struggle with.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we have the miles in our legs based on us having to do a marathon tomorrow and not actually having trained since that.
Again, I think I focus more on the beer drinking training. I think that's what I think I should be able to.
Something near that. I mean, pretty good. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We got this done. Yeah, so I mean, other than that, the venue was good. The gate was pretty awesome. There's a big gate where you walk in. And there's a house, the Burghley House. I guess it was a house. I don't know.
It's very nice house. Very scenic. Wonderful rolling country park. Definitely recommend it. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, so I think we did talk afterwards about whether we do it again. Like, again, 2014, and we were a bit jaded, weren't we, from the race? So, I mean, what's your thoughts? Would you run it again?
You know, I part of me does want to, in terms of, like, I think it's just one of those things where I remember, like, not doing one of the obstacles about, it was like a particularly high, like, angled wall towards the end. I was like, I could have done that, really, if I'd only put my mind to it. But, no, I mean, there's just things like that where it's kind of like, oh, it'll grate me. it was quite fun. Otherwise, the water stuff was really good. The stops, you know, was always very well stocked for rat race events. Had plenty of Jaffa cakes. Jaffa cakes are pretty amazing. If I'm gonna, and even digestive biscuits. They got my memo again. They had some digestive biscuits. So I'm pretty happy with that. Not so keen on the crawling in the dark, it must be said. Or another low point, which we failed to mention, was warm water obstacles.
Oh, God.
And it was quite a cold day, and you have, like, some obstacles where, and it happens in multiple events, and it's just not very nice, is it? Kind of where you have water, and it's kind of body temperature water when you get in, and it's like, why is this water warm?
Who's been peeing in it? Oh, it's my mouth.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, why is this water warm? Why? It's like, every other body of water we've gotten into has been ice cold. This one is body temperature. Something's wrong here. Yeah. Especially when it's like 14 kilometers into the race or whatever it is. So, yes, that's quite a low point. but other than that, and crouching, because crouching, crawling sucks generally. Especially when your knees start aching. I think I'd probably give it a go. I'd get in early so the water's cold, and avoid queues, and then it'd be grand. But maybe not next year.
No, next year. So maybe we do the double one. So obviously, if everybody kind of, when the double, someone who's doing a double kind of 20-mile ran past, everybody would make way for them. So maybe that's a way of getting past the queues.
just do it twice. Don't even do it twice. Just have a double mucker t-shirt. Like, there you go, I'm running. Yeah, doing it twice. Why do you look so fresh? Oh, no, I'm just really good at this stuff. What can I say?
a few more of the fun moments game with the disco caravan. It's quite fun. The disco shed. You know, there's a theme going on.
Definitely.
And then there's the diarrhea hut.
Oh, I forgot about the diarrhea hut. Yes.
This is a kind of shed that they'd put a water kind of bed in, and basically it's pumping this filthy water, spraying it all, and you have to run through it. It's very amusing.
Yeah, it's quite hard to, like Jamie kind of explained, I guess, but, you know, it's like, so you walk at something, and it's a hut. It's literally like a shed. The door's open, the windows are open, and all you can see is the flood of brown water spraying from the ceiling into a pool at the bottom, and it's very much a case of this this is hilarious. There's nothing else to be said. This looks like shit. It's basically like, okay, yeah. Is it warm? I don't know.
I seem to remember this wasn't warm, thankfully, so it probably wasn't actually a diarrhea. Maybe just bits of diarrhea in there.
People camped on the roof. It's like, no. So, yes, on a high note with a diarrhea camp, they obviously needed to get some diurolite. Diurolite? I can't remember what it's called. Whatever that medication's called. But, yeah, that was good. It was typically it was generally a good day out, yeah. I think. Including going to a posh pub at the end, covered in mud.
Yeah.
And be like, beer, please. yes, that was a fun time. So, yeah, maybe not next year, but definitely do again. Would recommend it, especially for obstacle course races, because it is one of the longer ones, at least in the UK. 20 miles is longer than your standard Tough Mudder, I believe.
Yeah.
I imagine Tough Mudder probably do a longer one nowadays, but I don't really know, to be honest.
I think they do a half marathon one, and they do a shorter one, maybe like, well, I suppose 8K or so.
Because if you do the double mucker, that's 40 miles, yeah. Of course, right?
So the 21 miles, definitely. So if you're used to doing, if you do obstacle course races and you want to do this one, I suggest getting the miles in your legs, definitely. Yeah, and obviously the 14 miles one, get more than a few miles in your legs. Get training.
Yeah. You're doing a hard ultra marathon there, basically.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
Definitely. I think that's all there is to say about that. Would you agree, Jamie?
Definitely, yeah. Enjoyed it. We'll do it again, but like I said, maybe not next year. Yeah. Maybe when I can do monkey bars.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, so as we said, we're here in Liège. I keep saying Liège. I don't know why. It feels not more fancy to say Liège.
Yeah, so maybe next podcast we can tell people how to say the name of the city properly. Yeah.
I think so. I think that's maybe we should have a pronunciation podcast. Maybe exactly. We could do different dialects,
yeah,
regional accents. But yeah. Either way, we're in Liège, and we are doing a beer marathon, which is going to be amazing. We already went to the beer festival today, which may be evident from some of the some of the rambling we'd be doing.
Delightful conversation.
So we've been enjoying the beer festival today. And we'll enjoy the beer marathon tomorrow, and we will report back on that, hopefully in a tighter time frame than we did for the Dirty Weekend. So apologies for the late podcast. Hopefully you guys are not going to hold it against us, and we'll stay listening for the next episode. And if you want to send some feedbacks, get back to us at podcast@daftrunners.com, or check out just the daftrunners.com website. We have some blog posts and training posts, which I've not updated in months, and just general, stuff we put on there. But yeah, so other than that, anything to add, Jamie?
Yeah, so we'll hopefully put some more run reports up there soon. But again, check back in to see how we got on with the beer marathon.
Awesome sauce. All right. Thank you all, and catch you next time. Ciao for now.